It's a joy for us to be with you today. My wife Samira is with me, and we are with you to praise God, to worship, to share the word, and to fellowship, for we are one family in Christ. May God's blessings be with you and your people today and your family today. My scripture lesson this morning, or reading, comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 7 through 14. Let us listen to the word of God. Whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press onward to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. May God's blessing be on this word. Amen. I'd like to talk about profit and loss, because Paul talks about having experienced the loss of everything and yet having gained the surpassing experience of knowing Christ. Now, that's quite a saying. That's quite a claim. Would you be willing to lose everything for the sake of Christ's powerful presence and service reaching out into the world through you? I'm afraid I wouldn't. I'm working on it. Profit and loss is an ever-present topic among us, is it not? If you have made any investments, you want to know every day what's happening to the stock market. Is it going up or down or sideways? What's happened to your savings, etc., etc., etc.? It's a topic dear to our hearts because our own sense of, a sense of health, our own sense of joy, happiness, calm, and peace depends upon our ability to maintain often material possessions. And yet, as it happened with Paul, he started out as a man who had much. He has his pedigree in the early part of the chapter. And he says, if you want to brag, I have much to brag about. But, he says, I have suffered the loss of that because I have chosen to follow Christ. And in following Christ, I have experienced the power of his resurrection. Well, that's quite a statement for somebody who's already still living. So the power of Christ's resurrection is a powerful instrument whereby our life on this earth, here and now, can find the inner energy, the inner strength to continue in the midst of calamity, in the midst of loss. That's the genius of our Christian faith. Now, I have something here that's, I'm too far for you to see what I have. That's why I encourage people to come forward. But being Presbyterians, we like the back seats. You know, the bus driver who was very frustrated about everybody crowding the front of the bus, telling him, go back, go to the rear, go to the rear. He says, why can't you do it like they do in church? Fill the back first and then the front. That's okay. As long as you hear me and you understand what I'm saying. This is a copy of the California edition or section of the New York, Los Angeles Times. I almost said New York Times. I lived in New York many years. The December 27 section of the California. And in it, there's a marvelous story. It says, from Woolsey's fires, devastation, and a rebirth. Now, you remember the Woolsey fire? That's the one that started in the Calabasas area, skipped Highway 101 and across Mulholland Drive and went all the way to Malibu and destroyed everything in its path. This morning, I was reading again in the paper an artist, a painter who has lost, she had two shipping containers full of her artwork, completely destroyed, and standing there and saying, what do I do now? It's all gone. Well, this story is about a 17-year-old young woman by the name of Jessica Bierschenk, who combed the ruins of her grandmother's home that was in the Calabasas area and built a sculpture that honors her plans to rebuild. But she used the pieces, ashes, destroyed stuff on the site of her grandmother's destroyed, completely destroyed house. She gathered the rubble and put them together into what became a beautiful phoenix bird. You can all see it, of course. A phoenix bird made of the pieces she found in the rubble. It was so inspiring, I saved it and I use it a number of times. She went and in the rubble she found her grandpa's hand saws that they used to, the long big saws they used to saw through the trunks of trees and made the wings of the phoenix with it, etc., etc. And I'd love to go by there and see it sometime. What an inspiring story and an inspiring sculpture. And she called it the phoenix. Now, you know what the phoenix is? It's the bird that rose from the ashes of the fires and became a mythical, legendary, gorgeous bird. This young woman, 17 years old, did something that shared new life, continuity, resurrection power with her grandmother. And the grandmother was so appreciative that for her, it alleviated the pain that she had because of the loss of her house. Now, this kind of story we find all the time. But spiritually speaking, Paul isn't talking of material things. Paul is talking of the spiritual reality of the presence of Jesus Christ in one's experience, in one's life, from whom emanates the daily power to meet the challenges that we face. This is the key that I'm sharing with you. And he says, I have a goal. My goal in life, I press on to make it my own, and that is the resurrection power evident in the life, work, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. I press on. Rick Warren, who's the pastor of the Saddleback Community Church, wrote a book years ago that sold millions of copies. It was called The Purpose-Driven Church. And I've read it. I don't know if you have or not. And along with it, the purpose-driven life of an individual. The key to our positive and our celebratory life together, day in and day out, is to focus upon that which is a central purpose for your life. The central purpose. This artist in Malibu, she had lost everything. She says, I'm going to do it again. The attitude was not, oh, how terrible, blah, 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 but no, I'm going to do it again. And already she was in front of people sharing her work this last week. What is the central purpose of your life? Is it to multiply your possessions? Many people have that as their focus. More and more by way of profit to make sure that we sustain a comfortable life. So we can have this and we can have that and we can have something else. When tragedy strikes, all that is wiped out immediately. And then you're faced with the issue, what now? What do I have in me that is the core, central presence of the power that is going to make me keep going? What is that in your life? A friend of mine who came from Beirut, Lebanon, years ago, after the civil war there that destroyed much of the city, they had a 16-year civil war, he said he knew a man who had a shop that got burned. But he said, I know, I have a strong box in the back of the office, in the back of the shop, where I have all my money stored. They were in dollars. Over there, they all use dollars. So he said, he went back and opened the strong box, and to his delight, he saw they were all there, all stacked, all the money. And then he reached out to grab it. It pulverized in his hands. It had burnt and kept the shape, but it was nothing but ashes. So his savings had turned to ashes. It may be a business, it may be family. These days we face the calamity of losing loved ones. Cancer is a terrible word that pops up unexpectedly. Every time we have something wrong, we think, I hope it's not cancer. Whether it's cancer or a stroke or a heart attack or empty nests, as we call it, like us, when we have children have moved away and are not around, what do you do? How do you cope? Or you have a church that used to be full but is now empty, like this church. I know the story of this church. It used to be a prospering, full church when the minister in the 70s, he decided he was going to leave the denomination. He wrote a letter, and I did receive a copy of the letter, saying the Presbyterian church should be abandoned. They don't believe the Lord. They don't believe the gospel, blah, blah, blah. Come Sunday morning to church. And they came to church, and at the conclusion, while they were singing Onward Christian Soldiers, he got up the pulpit and walked out, and he said, anybody wants to follow me, follow me. And more than half the church followed him right out and never came back. That's the story of this church. So what do? We keep going. I press on. Press on, folks. This is where Christ is alive. The aliveness of Christ is not demonstrated by loud bands and teeming congregations, but in the inner person, the Holy Spirit is in you, and you say, thank you, God, and you come to church and you worship, and you walk out having been renewed in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is talking about. Because Paul is talking from prison. He had been imprisoned after he had come, and he's talking of how he keeps on. In his the prison was a house imprisonment where they had a soldier stationed and with a chain tied to his arm. And the legend is that he helped this young man who was a soldier to find Christ and became a Christian. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not talking of dead past, we're talking of the vibrant present future. Forgetting the things that are behind, I press on to the future. Forgetting the things that are behind. Don't complain. Oh, we used to have this, that, what. No, please. He says, forget the past. Press on. Your eyes on the future, powered by the Holy Spirit, in and through whom Christ will continue to work in and through you. The resurrection and the faith that comes with it is not a static thing. It is not once you got it, you've got it. I remember Christians arguing, if you're saved, am I always saved or not? Don't get into that. Say, Christ is here today, and it's a dynamic power in you. The concept of the resurrection is not just the future after I die, but the present. It's the power that enables you to continue on, not discouraged, but re-empowered, reborn, re-energized to carry on in the purpose that you've discovered in Jesus Christ. So we are people of the resurrection power of Christ. You and I, all of us. You can stand proud, you can stand with peace in your heart, and you can walk forward into the storms of life saying, come what may, I'm walking with Christ. This is my message to you today. You've heard it before, but hear it again. May Christ in you be the hope of glory now and forevermore. Amen.